So let me get this straight. You're going on holiday, you're going away, and you were hoping that we could just do this almost like a live recording, almost no editing, because you haven't got any time to edit. Is that all right? Okay. So I can pretty much say anything I like in this podcast, and you haven't got time to edit it out.
No, so instead of the normal editing where I cut out all of your guff and waffle, it's all going to be in there. All the swearing, the cursing, the.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. So I can say anything I like, and you haven't got time to take it out.
That's right.
So, right, let's get going.
This also means we're probably going to waffle on for 2 hours this week.
No.
Or if there's an abrupt end, that's just me pulling the plug out of the whole thing.
That's it. Something
I
like that.
Think, sod it.
So, looking forward to this. Let's get cracking.
Yeah. So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, where we talk about things in Wiltshire that are hidden, relatively speaking. My name is Glyn Coy, and I'm behind the Hidden Wiltshire stuff. I was going to say the face behind, but no one ever sees my face on a podcast, do they?
Well, thank God for that. Only I can
Yeah, I
see
know.
it.
I was thinking, actually, maybe we should do these on YouTube and record our video at
No,
the
no, no.
Oh dear. So yeah. With me this week, as usual, I have my podcasting partner. Ta-da!
Mr. Sweary Man, Paul Timlett.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, just in case any or any burglars are listening to this and think we'll pop round to Mr. Coy's house whilst he's on holiday, you are leaving your pet pit bull Satan to guard the house, aren't you?
Yeah. And 220-something lads.
Well,
So good
so
luck.
good luck to any burglars.
Yes, I'm escaping Wiltshire for a week.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So we've got an announcement to make at the end of the podcast, haven't we? So a sort of special announcement. So
yes.
People
a
have to
podcast announcement.
People have to stick around to the end to hear that.
Yeah, so do please listen to the end, and we will be making an announcement.
And speaking of escaping Wiltshire, I escaped yesterday. Well, for 2 days, went to Swansea, which was fabulous. Went to my son's master's graduation ceremony, which was delayed for 2 years for
obvious
reasons.
I was going to say that's a bit late.
Yeah. Well, I was arguing with him yesterday whether he was actually. Could officially call himself a master of arts now. And he said, well, I had the certificate 2 years ago, so I guess it was all right before. But it was lovely seeing him up on stage there. And of course, there's no shaking hands with the chancellor anymore. You don't have to go anywhere near each other.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a doff of the hat and across the stage. Although I have to say, there must have been about 2,000 people there, and any COVID management was completely out the window. It was really quite frightening.
That's what it's like now. I mean, it was like that. I did my son's graduation a few months ago in Bournemouth. That was a year late, and even then we were still supposed to have masks on indoors in public situations. But I'd say 70% of people didn't have them on. So it's
well, I reckon of the 2,000 people in that hall, there was maybe five had masks on, and three of them were my wife, my son, and I. Anyway, that's too controversial. We can't talk about that.
Yeah.
So go on.
Yeah.
I think I was going to
ask each other. This is so bad. This edit is going to sound terrible.
Well, I was going to ask you the same question that you're probably going to ask me. So you first. What have you been up to?
What I've been up to? Tinkering around with the website quite a bit. I've been playing around with the online shop actually, failing miserably.
I saw that.
Oh my goodness me, it's complicated. I won't go into that, but we still have things in the online shop, so do buy a book. or a prince or whatever we've got in there now. I've lost track of what we've got in there. But yeah, there's still hidden Wiltshire books available. Not so many of the first one, actually. I think I've got about two left.
Oh, wow, that's brilliant, isn't it?
But the second one, we've got a fair few left from the print one we did last year. But yeah, I did go for a bit of a walk, and I put it on the website. And this is quite funny because I don't know this part of Wiltshire very well. It was over towards Rorton. I parked at Rorton Church and walked across to what I thought was called, because it says this on the map, and this is what it's called when you read it out, Binknoll Castle.
Yeah, yeah.
And Broadtown White Horse. Now, Binknoll, B-I-N-C-K-N-O-L-L. Now, that looks like an unequivocal spelling of Binknoll to me.
Yeah.
But no, apparently it's Binnell.
Binnell. Or is it Binnell or Binnell?
Binnell.
Binnell, okay. Because I think somebody corrected you, or you corrected yourself, and you spelt it B-Y-N-O-L. But is that just your...
Well, no doubt I've got it wrong again, and someone local is going to correct me, but whatever the correct pronunciation is, I got it completely wrong.
So it's Binnell or Binnell, and not Binknoll. But, I mean, how would you say... So, like, there's Long Knoll and Little Knoll down near Stourhead. Is that Knoll or Knoll? Because it's spelt the same. K-N-O-L-L.
Oh, we're opening a real can of worms
here. Yeah, I'm sure somebody will put a straight, somebody proper Wiltshire.
Yeah, so Binnell or Binnell Castle. Yeah, I went there and, it was a really nice, it was a nice walk, but it was a bit of a trudge back because I came back across fields that were just full of mud and it was boggy and horrible. But the castle itself is what looks like used to be an Iron Age hill fort, but they've there's a Norman Motton Bailey castle built on there as well at some point. There's a lot of quarrying, so it's a pretty damaged site, but you can still see the sort of triangular shape of the hill fort on the hill, and it's lovely around there. You have to go out with your way to get there. It's not a place you can just drive to and rock up. And there's a woodland, I think it's Quidhampton Wood nearby, which has got these lovely steep banks, which are absolutely full of the early leaves of wild garlic that was starting to come up. So I'd imagine in a couple of weeks, they'll be full of bluebells and garlic. It'll be lovely to go and see.
Mm. I think you did. I think you've just come back when we did the last podcast, so you did mention it.
But, I did mention it, yeah.
But you've now written the blog,
yes.
And the photos, so they're all up on that's on the website, isn't it?
Yeah. I also, from visiting the Binnell Castle, or Binnell Castle, I also walked across to Broadtown White Horse to bag that one, which I've been meaning to for years. I wrote up a separate piece about that particular white horse, which is quite a nice one, actually.
And then there was on the Facebook group, I think it was, Paul Jackson put in some additional information about Binnell or Binnell Medieval Chapel, which I'd never heard of.
Mm.
So he found a reference to that. I'm not sure if you can actually see anything. I think it's sort of part of rubble or bricks or something. I do actually remember seeing some pictures now, so there is evidence of it.
It's been quite good though, because I think we've not really done that much in North Wiltshire, but we're doing quite a lot of it at the moment.
Including a walk that Stu and I did. Blimey, where are we? Last week, I think we did it. It was up near, just to the west of Marlborough. Not in Marlborough. What am I talking about? Malmesbury. I keep mixing the two up. Yeah, west of Malmesbury. In the Cotswolds. So before somebody puts us right and says the Cotswolds is in Gloucestershire, Cotswolds area of outstanding natural beauty also extends into Wiltshire. So this area is in the Cotswolds. That was a really enjoyable walk. That was good. Usual irritations like blocked footpaths and private signs everywhere. A lot of trails just chewed up by horses because whatever it is, hunt that Prince Charles used to follow, Beaufort. They're hugely active up there, and they've got a lot of land and woodland. Mm. So in wet weather, in hunting season, it could be pretty muddy. But the countryside, very different, as different parts of the county are. So that walk is, I did a blog on that, I think. Yes, I did do a blog for that. And the route. So that's all on the website. We'll put links in the show notes.
Yeah, and just stretching on or adding on to that comment about the Cotswolds, there's a finger of the Cotswolds that stretches all the way down to Bradford-on-Avon, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
So Bradford-on-Avon is in the Cotswolds.
It's in the Cotswolds. God, yeah. No idea. Didn't know that. And where we, I also eventually wrote up the walk we did in Bentley Wood.
I
think I might have mentioned that in the last podcast because it's a little while since we did that. Because I mentioned that it's probably doesn't warrant a podcast.
Yes, but, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, but yeah. Elaine Perkins, who she sent me some photographs that she'd taken in Bentley Wood for the blog, and she'd taken some stunning pictures in much nicer weather or much more photographic weather, misty mornings and that sort of thing. She'd made some recommendations for routes and stuff, so the walk we did was based on Elaine's advice. In terms of a podcast about it, she made a really good suggestion that perhaps we get somebody on from the Friends of Bentley Wood to talk about Bentley Wood. So the Friends of Bentley Wood was set up by the trustees to, I think, kind of oversee and manage the woodland or oversee the management of the woodland. And I think Elaine has got some contacts or knows people who knows people. So she's going to look into that. Good. Yeah, that'd be fabulous. Because it is it's a stunning place. It's huge and very, very varied. So again, there's a blog up on the website, which I'll link in the show notes. Just also speaking about Elaine, she put a blog, I suppose, on the Facebook group about Sherrington Mott. So Sherrington is in the Wylye Valley. And this morning, because we're recording this on a Friday, she put some more information about her same visit with lots of photographs. So about Sherrington and Boyton and all that area. And it looks absolutely lovely. And some cracking photographs on there. By the time this comes out on Sunday, I will have spoken to Elaine about assembling that into a blog for the website. It's not a walk as such. It's more a visit to a couple of villages and churches, and it's nice to have that kind of variation on the website. So we're not just following a walk. It's
yeah, definitely. And those villages in the Wylye Valley are just lovely.
It's beautiful. Yeah,
lovely part of the world, and we've already got a piece on the website that Steve Dewey wrote about the River Wylye, and he followed the whole valley.
That's right. Yeah.
So we touched on it in places, but it's a real part of it's a part of Wiltshire that really is hidden. It's not well known, and the villages are quite remote.
Well, people tend to hammer down the Wylye Valley on the A36.
They do,
So if you're not from this part of Wiltshire, there's a road that pretty much runs parallel to the A36. It's just a minor road, and it wends its way in and out of all the little villages. But it does mean if you're walking down that way, parking can be a bit of a challenge, as Elaine found out. I think parking at Sheraton was almost impossible. I think she parked at Boyton Church. And there is a sort of shop and cafe at Boyton, the Ginger Piggery, which has been there for years. I used to be in a cycling club with a guy whose wife ran that. I don't know if she still does, because he used to live just over the road. But bizarrely enough, even though it's not terribly far from here, I've never been to Boyton Church and never been to Sherrington Church, let alone know that there was a Mott there. So that was a real good find. Just on the subject of the Wylye Valley, just a mention of somewhere and an event at Langford Lakes. And I guess a lot of people have heard of Langford Lakes, which is a Wiltshire Wildlife Trust reserve. Lovely spot. I mean, great if you're into your bird life. It's a fabulous spot.
Yeah.
And the white-tailed eagles that have been released down at the Isle of Wight, they've been seen over Langford Lakes fairly recently. I think they've seen two over Langford Lakes. And there was some unusual buzzard during the winter. Is it a redfoot buzzard or something like that? Or red-footed falcon, that's it, which is very rarely seen in this country. And that was kind of hung out of the lakes for weeks. But there is a very good cafe and gallery at the lakes, looking out over the lakes. And at the moment, between the 2nd of April and the 2nd of May, they've got an exhibition there of art. I think it's art and photography, but I know two photographers who are exhibiting there, and it's all around woodland, woodland photography, woodland art. So Stephen Davies, who I think he used to work for Wiltshire Wildlife Trust, and he's a fabulous woodland photographer, and a good friend of mine, Nigel Hudson, also a fabulous woodland photographer, both normally photographing Savernake Forest, but they've both got photographs hanging in the gallery at the moment. So the gallery is open, I think, and I guess the cafe as well. It's open Wednesdays to Sundays. So the exhibition, as I said, 2nd of April to 2nd of May. So I'll put that in the show notes as well. And that's well worth a visit.
Good.
I think that was pretty much all the news and stuff.
Well, that's good, because that means we've got this part of the podcast over quickly. So I think you've got a lot to talk about in the next bit.
I have, yes.
I've warned you, I'm going to pull the plug if you go on too much.
Well, you know what happened. I'll have a complete brain freeze and dry up after about 10 minutes, and then we'll be stuffed with a half-hour podcast. But let's give it a go.
Okay. So this week we are going to the east of the county.
Yeah.
Probably about as far east as you can get before getting into Hampshire, actually.
Yeah.
So this is an area around Hippenscombe, which is kind of a bit neglected by us because it's so far east. And for you and I, it's a bit further to travel to. But having seen some of the photographs, I know Steve Dewey's done some wonderful photographs in this area and put them on his account, social media account, and the scenery over there is stunning. And of course, it's an area that has been painted by Revilius as well. So it's over by Hippenscombe. And you did a walk there and posted it on the website a few months ago, actually, didn't you?
Yeah, so I talked about it in a previous podcast. I think I did five separate visits over there.
Yeah.
May have been more. And Stu came with me on a couple of those. And I did the others on my own, mainly to take photographs. So it gets very dull for other people whilst I'm shooting photographs because I stand around a lot gazing at the sky and waiting.
Yeah.
So we talked about it before. I wrote a blog about it, which is on the website, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But we did it. We did it partly at the behest of our friend David Dawson at Wiltshire Museums, because he was quite interested in running a Wiltshire Museums walk over there. So I was trying to put together a route that was doable for people of all abilities, really. Anything around there will be difficult for anybody who isn't reasonably fit, because there's some quite steep hills there and steep valleys, because it's a coombe, it's a bottom. So trying to find a route, trying to find somewhere to park, because there's a lot of very narrow lanes and little hamlets and things. So that was a real challenge. And so I've got different route options. I shared one when I wrote the original blog. I might vary that really make allowance for parking. But what I'm going to talk about today is the routes that we kind of finally settled on, which starts in Tidcombe.
And it's worth saying as well that we've been talking to Wiltshire Museum lately about coming up with a walks program for this year.
Yeah.
And this Hip and Scoon route it's going to be one of them, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll come out with the dates and times and everything for that, but we're planning to lead a walk on this area as well. And actually, one thing that attracted me to this place to visit, and I haven't done this visit yet, but I'm very taken with that Revilius painting called Downland, which I don't think he ever confirmed where it was painted, but if you go to this area, you can actually get to the spot which is actually the same vista that he painted, and you can actually see the same viewpoint. I know some of his paintings slightly exaggerate the landscape, but you can definitely see that Downland was a painting of this particular spot.
Oh, yeah, it's just indisputable. Because, as you know, I took a photograph from the same spot completely by coincidence. And I was driving over that way, and I can't remember why. I can't remember what I was doing there. I think I was just having an explore. And I came out of Vernon Dean, I think it was, the village of Vernon Dean. And I think I was trying to plot a walk, and I was trying to find somewhere to park. So I looked at Vernon Dean, and I drove up. I'm just looking on the map now. I think it's called Conholt Road or Conholt. I'll keep looking whilst I'm talking. And I went up this lane, and it's quite a narrow lane. It's a very steep hill as well, because I remember years and years ago, go cycling up there and it being pretty brutal. And I was going up this lane, and I glanced to my right, and I just saw the most, Conholt Lane, it's called. I just found it on the map. And I glanced up to my right, looked at this beautiful view, and the absolute classic Wiltshire bottom. And I slammed the brakes on the car and jumped out. I didn't even turn the engine off. And it's just in the middle of the road, and I just jumped onto the verge at the side of the road and took this photograph on my phone, jumped back in the car and drove off. And when I put it on the Hidden Wiltshire Facebook group sometime later, you said to me, that's Revilius's Downland. And you can see it's exactly the same spot.
It is. I remember I put an image of the actual painting next to your photo, and you could clearly see it was the same. The same view. And you hadn't even known it.
No.
We both
were captured by the same, or captivated by the same view. His painting was taken. You can see the lane that I was stopped on in the foreground. So obviously, I didn't have the lane in my photograph. But other than that, it's exactly the same spot. Because all the layout of the fields and the twists and turns of the road that goes along the bottom of the bottom, along the Coombe bottom, it's all the same space. I mean, incredible coincidence. And as I've said on here before, I mean, I was a big fan of Eric Revilius. I had seen that painting before, but a long time before, and it had completely gone out of my mind. And I'm an even bigger fan of his son James Revilius's photography, which is stunning. So yeah, that was a hell of a coincidence. So ever since then, my visits were kind of focused on trying to find a way to explore as much of that landscape as possible without making it a stupid length, which I'm more than happy to do stupidly long walks, but conscious of the fact that most people who listen to this won't want to do that. What Stu and I did was to park at Tidcombe, opposite the church. Now, you're just going to have to look this up on a map to get yourself to Tidcombe, because it's down a really narrow lane. There's no through road, so you come to the end of the church and then you can't go any further without going off road. And just opposite the church, there's a little lay-by. There's barely even a lay-by, it's just the road is wide enough to park some cars at the side, and you can only really get about three or four cars in this space, and some of the local people park there as well. So every time I've been there, there's never been more than two spaces. Now, another place to park, which I think we're going to do when we do the Wiltshire Museum walk, because we'll have a few more cars to accommodate, is a place called Scott's Paw. And Scott's Paw is marked on the map, and it's on Shute's Causeway, which is a Roman road. And there is a byway on the apex of the bend at Scott's Paw. So a byway means you can take motorised vehicles down it. And there's a really wide verge, and I know people do park there. There's not a huge amount of space, but you could probably get a half dozen cars in there. And a couple of people who listen to the podcast have suggested that that's an acceptable place to park. Yeah. Shute's Causeway, which goes on for quite a long way, the verges are quite narrow, and you get some big trucks, logging trucks and tractors come down there. So if you park up on one of those verges, your car's going to get hit, or it'll block the road. So you really need to get right off the road wherever you park around there. But Tidcombe Church is lovely. And again, I think we've mentioned here before that Andrew Rumsey, the Bishop of Ramsbury, he did a gig, because he's a musician as well as being a bishop and a bloody good writer. And he did a performance there on, I think it was Christmas Eve, actually. Just this last Christmas Eve, and posted some beautiful pictures from there. But it's a funny little church. It's the writer Nicholas Pevsner described it as humble. It's been a humble building, and it is. It's not a pretty building. So if you do park up there, then it's well worth just going into the church first and having a look in there and spending some time in there. I mean, so peaceful, because it's up the end of a no through road. There's no traffic sounds. There's very little other noise up there. Beautiful light in there. Well worth the visit. The church, I think, is 12th century, the origins. I mean, not much of the 12th century origins to be seen now. I can't remember what in there is 12th century, but there's a very good history of the church and the manor in the church itself. So, I mean, it's well worth spending half an hour in there. And on the walk, if you park at Scott's Paw, you can drop in at the church on your way round. But Tidcombe Manor itself, not the house, but the manor, the estate, that goes right back to, I think, about the 8th century. So this is a real ancient landscape. And in fact, that's just the manor. Before that, man lived here for thousands of years, as we'll see in a bit. And at one point, the manor was held by the Seymour family, who crop up quite a lot in the history of Wiltshire. So, as in Henry VIII's third wife, Jane Seymour. So her family held the manor. And the manor house itself, which is just over the fields from the porch of the church, that was built in 1742. And that was commissioned by Charles Seymour, who was the 6th Duke of Somerset, apparently. And then it was... I think he commissioned it, and it was actually built by a guy called John Tanner, and the Tanner family, their name is all over the church and the graveyard. So obviously a very prominent local family. So there's loads more online about Tickham. I did a couple of Facebook entries about it. So if you're on Facebook, and you can see that in the closed group, in the contributors group and the open page, if you do a search for Tidcombe, you'll find much more about the church and the history and the manor itself. So from the car, if you're parked so that the church is on your right, the lane that you're parked on does just within a few meters does a very sharp right hand bend. And I can't remember if it's a bridleway or a byway, it does a sharp right-hand bend, but on the outside of the bend, on the apex, there is a footpath, and it's not very easy to see, but it kind of drops down a little gully, of quite a muddy gully, and you'll see a stile, and then down to a deep coombe, and up the other side in front of you, you'll see a wood, and that wood is basically where you're going. And you head up and to the left of that wood. And as you start to climb, if you look up to your right, you can see away up the coombe, up the bottom, which I'm not sure if it has a name, that one. No, I don't think it does. But you'll see loads of earthworks off to your right, and that gives you a hint of what's to come and how long man has been here. And there are earthworks running everywhere in this landscape. But what we were doing, we were heading up to Tidcombe Long Barrow, which you can't miss. So if you go, you pass round to the left of the wood, the Long Barrow, you'll see it come into view in front of you and slightly to your right. This is quite a substantial Neolithic Long Barrow. Goes back to about somewhere between 1500 and 2500 BC. But it's got a blooming great cleft dug into it, and it was plundered by the locals, by the villagers, in, I think, around 1750. Now, I know David Dawson has got some finds from that Long Barrow. So when he comes on these walks, he normally brings some finds with him. But I don't know what he's got. So that could be very interesting. But again, you'll see the earthworks that I mentioned earlier on. They run up to the towards the Long Barrow. Again, I'm looking for it on the map as we speak. Yeah, so the earthworks run all around there, wend their way around that little wood up to the Long Barrow, and then continue. So just to the south of the Long Barrow, you come to the Shute's Causeway again, the Roman road. And we went over the road, we crossed over the road, and directly opposite where the stile comes out, there's quite a wide entrance way into a wood. And in fact, one time when I visited, I did park in that entrance way. In fact, so basically what you're going to do is you're going to cross the road through this gap into woodland, through woodland onto a bridleway. And I was walking along that bridleway, and two tractors came the opposite direction, towing massive great trailers with logs. And I was a bit of the way up the bridleway, and I realised with horror that, because I was parked on the corner, if you like, of the bridleway and Shute Causeway, and these things were going to go and turn right right by my car. And I thought, God, you know, if they get this wrong, they're just going to drag my car down the Chute Causeway and probably not even notice that they're dragging a little Suzuki behind them. It would have just destroyed it. So I was I was out all day, and I got back thinking, oh, God, my car, what state's it going to be? In fact, it was dark when I got back, but it was still there, and they managed to miss it. So fair play to them. But I, by this time, you're walking above and to the southwest of something called, is it Macomb or Macomb Down? Again, along two sides of this huge field, another bottom, there are these earthworks. And I think these earthworks were all field boundaries or parish boundaries or hundred boundaries, whatever they would have been in those days.
Yeah.
And the just a bit of a tip, I actually climbed over a jump for horses onto the field, which on a 1 to 25,000 map is marked as field system, and I got into that field and walked along the edge of that field because the bridleway where the tractors had come down was just like a swamp. I mean, you just couldn't walk in it. So I walked along that the other side of the fence, and you come to a gate at the end, and you can, you know, without climbing anything, and just go back onto the bridleway. But I don't really know the age of those earthworks, but they're really quite noticeable. They're not huge, but you can't miss them in the landscape there.
Yeah, very often those are Bronze Age field boundaries.
Yeah.
But I defer to the experts because I don't know for sure. But certainly when I've seen them out in other parts, I know they've got a few similar type constructions over at Fifield Down.
Yeah.
Which are definitely Bronze Age.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That big field system up there above the Valley of the Stones. So the next reference point, again, the views up there are beautiful. You will see across the fields to your right what looks to be a metal tank suspended in the trees. That's actually a water tower, and it's in a little circular copse right next to the words Down Barn on the map. And you just you continue along the bridleway there, and you get to a point, an open access area. And it's called the Sleigh, and I'm not quite sure the relevance or the provenance of that, you know, where the name the Sleigh comes from. But again, another bottom, you're looking down to your right into that, and this is where you first get a view of Hippenscombe, the hamlet of Hippenscombe, which looks like and is a farm down way down below in the bottom. So again, this is your first sighting of Hippenscombe Bottom, and we got to a crossroads of rights of way, and to our left there was a bridleway which goes all the way down to Oxenwood and Fosbury House. Now, I haven't walked down there, and I don't know if you get a view from of Fosbury House from up there, but I've seen Fosbury House from the road from the front over near Oxenwood, and it's a stunning manor house, and like a lot of houses like Wilbury Manor, it's owned by the Guinness family. And so got a bit of a troubled past, I think. There was a wild party there back in the early 2000s, and one of the Hesketh family's young lad died there of a drug overdose, and there's a huge scandal. Anybody old enough will remember the Hesketh motor racing team, who I think James Hunt might have driven for, if I remember
right. Yes, yeah, that's right.
But I haven't walked down there, so that's something else I'd like to go and do one day, is go and look at, see if you can get a view of Fosbury House and above the woods up there. But what we did at that crossroads, so here there's a bit of a diversion to be had. If you've got more time during the day, you're within striking distance, maybe not even a kilometre, or maybe it's a kilometre, of Fosbury, the hill fort. So it's not actually on the right, on the route of the map, although you could easily incorporate it by and extend the walk, which is very, in fact, that's what Stu and I did. But if you didn't want to, if you wanted to keep the distance down a little bit, at that crossroads up by the Sleigh, and above Hippenscombe, you can go over, again, it's open access. You can go across Haydown Hill to what's called Knowles Down, and the Fosbury Hill Fort. And Fosbury is, Fosbury Camp is blooming big. I mean, it's about 26 acres, and it's a Iron Age bivalet hill fort. But I read somewhere that it may even be older than that, go back to Neolithic times, or certainly Neolithic man was up there. It probably wasn't a hill fort in those days, but Neolithic man has settled up there, and possibly even older than that, a Mesolithic. There was one of these great old stories that during the plague times in the 1660s, the rector of Vernham Dean convinced all the villagers who were suffering from the plague, and he convinced them to leave the village and set up camp on the hill, Fosbury Camp. And he said that, you know, he would bring them supplies and make sure that they were provisioned and all the rest. And so having sort of moved them out of the village, he then, you know, quotation marks, forgot about them. And of course, you know, they over a period of time they died, and the description I read said they starved to death. And apparently now, you know, at certain, you know, dark nights, the ghost of the rector can be seen wandering Fosbury Camp, or wandering up towards the top of the hill. And just before he arrives at the campsite where the plague sufferers were, he's this apparition disappears. Now, I have to say, I was up there in the dark when I was taking pictures, because I'd been up there so long and the light just kept doing amazing things and I just couldn't tear myself away. And it wasn't completely dark, but it was, it certainly was dark by the time I got back to my car. This half light, and I'm blooming glad I didn't know that story when I was up there, because it's quite a spooky place in the half light. But well worth a visit. Well worth going to see, well worth the diversion. And I took a photograph up there. I actually took it on my phone, all the ones I took on my big camera. None of them really, they didn't really work out the way I wanted them. The best photograph I got there was on my phone. And I think for the thumbnail of this, the podcast, because we'll put a little thumbnail picture, I might use that one. Because it was part of Hippenscombe, was in deep shade, and it just looked beautiful. So you can get down to Hippenscombe from Fosbury, if you're prepared to trespass for about 100 metres. And it's clear that a lot of people did. We weren't the first people. And the open access area brings you down almost to the road at the bottom of Hippenscombe, but there's like a little gap, and certainly a tractor, the farmer uses it to get up and down from the road. So we just walked that last 100 metres. But if you don't want to do that, you can go back to that crossroads of the tracks that I mentioned earlier on, the other side of Haydown Hill. And in fact, if you go back that way, it's worth having a look at the pits. They look like bomb craters on Haydown Hill, but I read somewhere that they may have been grain pits, storage pits, where they used to store you know, grain and other stuff up there. So going back to that crossroads, we just dropped straight down to Hippenscombe. There's a byway there, I think it is. Not byway, bridleway. Drops down. So you're east of the Sleigh, you're west of the the open access area that leads up to Fosbury, and drop down into to the little hamlet of Hippenscoon. And you go through the farmyard. It's a right of way, so it's all fine. And this is now on the there's a new long distance footpath called the Pusey Vale Circular Way, which is quite a long one. So it's 77 miles, but you can do it in right. sections. And we saw some people. Stu and I met a couple of ladies who were testing part of the route before they publicised it. Or published it, which they now have, and there are a waymark signs everywhere, and it takes you through the hamlet. But what we did from Hippenscombe was we headed up towards Shute Causeway. Now, this is it's quite a steep climb. You're going up through Cleves Copse, and you come out to the road at the top. So it's quite a stiff climb. You know, if you're reasonably fit, it's no trouble. It's a bit muddy at the bottom, but once you get up higher, it dries out a bit. But what we wanted to do was get up to Shute's Causeway, and we were heading to our next point, our next objective, which was what people variously call Devil's Waistcoat, the Kinwood Stone, the Kenwood Stone, whatever we want to call it. Basically, this is well worth seeing. So you need to walk along the road, and it's pretty quiet, the Shute's Causeway. And you walk for, I don't know, looking at the map now, maybe 500, 750 metres, something like that. And you're looking out for a signpost which says Anton Post on it. And it's by one of these yellow grit bins. And the signpost points either way along Shute Causeway and south down to, I think it just says Shute, something or Shute or Shutes. And the stone that you're looking for, if you're standing facing Anton Post, this finger post, off to your right, you will see a pit, an old chalk pit, because this whole road is littered with chalk pits that the Romans would have dug when they made the road. So this is an old chalk pit, and in the pit is the stone that you're looking for. And the stone is just remarkable. And I did put a picture of it on the website when I posted the blog. And there's been a lot of debate about this stone, and it's got sort of wavy lines in it. And there's a huge debate about whether they're natural or man-made. Now, to my eye, my untrained eye, there's no doubt I think that these are man-made lines. And then there's the debate about what it is, what this stone is. And in the old days before parishes and all the rest of it, they had these areas called administrative areas called hundreds. And some say that this is the hundred stone. So the hundred stone is a meeting place for people who live in the hundred, and where decisions are made, and but it's highly unlikely that this is the hundred stone for the hundred of Kinwood. So Kinwood was a large hundred, and people think that this might be the hundred stone for the hundred of Kinwood. Well, that's highly unlikely because it's right on the edge of the boundary, and in fact David Dawson, I think he commissioned some research into this, so he sent a load of archaeologists out to figure out what this is. And it's thought that the stone, the hundred stone for Kinwood or Kenwood, is actually at Burbage, and that this stone is something else. Now there's other research, and then people who many, many years ago wrote articles having spoken to somebody who was in their 90s. So by word of mouth, going back to the early 19th century, it's thought that this particular stone was actually removed from a field in one of the Shute villages and brought up there. Now, why? I mean, this is a big sarsen stone. Why would you drag this stone all the way up the hill and dump it at the side of a Roman road? But there are what looks like carvings cut into that. So I know David said to us he doesn't like the name Kenwood Stone or Kenwood Stone. He prefers the name Devil's Waistcoat, which is what in history a lot of people called this. But it's well worth a visit. It's fascinating, and you can debate and argue amongst yourselves what you think it is when you go up there.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, because it's not formally marked on the map, you have to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you have to know it's there.
Yeah, but it's definitely worth a hunt.
But the pit that it's in is marked. It just says pit, brackets, dis, for disused. So from there, we walked, again, another couple of hundred metres west along the chute causeway, because what we wanted to do was, having visited that stone, was drop back down into Hippenscombe. So as you walk along the road, you've got Grimm's Ditch on your right, and of course Grimm's Ditch, there are Grimm's Ditches all over the country, but Grimm's Ditch is, I think it's a kind of generic name. I'm looking at my notes here. There's I think sort of possibly the name Grimm's Ditch is Anglo-Saxon. So the Anglo-Saxon word dyke, dick, D-I-C, hence ditch. And then grim, it's thought that grim means something of unexplained or mysterious origin. So it suggests that the ditch, Grimm's Ditch, the feature itself was already there, and the Anglo-Saxons gave it the name Grimm's Ditch. But you're going to, it's very evident, it's right alongside the road, and you're going to cross it. Now, you'll have to look at the map. I'm not going to try and explain now how we got from the causeway down into Hippenscombe. The footpath had been moved and disturbed several times because, let's not forget, this whole landscape is absolutely thrown over to industrial-scale pheasant shooting. So they move the rights of way around depending on where pens are, but basically what you want to do is drop down the escarpment. Basically you're heading north to get back down to Hippenscombe Bottom, and we had to there's quite clear trails there, but they weren't where the signposts said they were, so we struck through the wood and then down to this huge open field, and there is a little signpost there for the footpath, which was just straight across this huge ploughed field. And the signpost points the way. And obviously it's one of these where they just ploughed it and then they rely on walkers to trample down the crops and basically reinstate the right of way on the ground. And, the farmers are quite happy that and acknowledge that people do that. In fact, there were shooting stations, marker posts all around that field. So people trample over it all the time. But we dropped down into Hippenscombe, where we turned left and headed along the Coombe Bottom, and we just followed the route all the way along the bottom. And I think the time we did that, it was a pretty grey, miserable day. And I seem to remember seeing there was a big sarsen stone just by the track along the bottom there, just lying in a field. So these are, again, a feature. The sarsen stones are a feature of the landscape here. But we were aiming for Scott's Paw Plantation. Now, this is where I think I'm going to change the map. And the route that I showed, the walk, we tracked along the edge of Scott's Paw Plantation to the right of it, to the east, up to, because you're heading back up to Chute's Causeway again. I mean, you could just carry on walking along the road along Chute Causeway, but you'd be missing a lot, I think. Great views up there, but you'd be missing the Coombe itself. So instead of doing what we did and tracking on the edge of the plantation on the east, you can pretty much hang a left just as you enter Scott's Paw Plantation, and it takes you straight up to what is marked Scott's Paw on the map. And there's some cottages there, and there used to be a pub there, and again, there's a bit of debate about when that pub closed down. It's not a pub now, but it's right on a junction of what you've got Chute's Causeway itself, and then you've got 4 other byways, footpaths, bridleways. So this is obviously quite a significant place. because of all these junctions, all these rights of way that intersects there. But I think if I were doing this again, I would walk up to Scott's Paw, and if you do the walk and you park at Scott's Paw, you'll be back at your car here. But you want to, if you're parked at Tidcombe, you want to go northwest along a footpath which heads towards Picked or Picket Plantation. And then you track along the edge of Picket Plantation until you get to another crossroads in rights of way. And on the 1 to 25,000 map, it's marked as there being a water tower there. And in fact, there is a water tower because Stu and I on another walk come from the north, from Westcombe down, and came to that water tower. And at the water tower, you are going to hang a right, if you're still with me, on a bridleway, which will take you all the way back to Tidcombe.
I find it funny how on the map they abbreviate water tower to WRTDR. I thought there was some kind of weird Welsh thing going on.
Exactly, I did as well.
We're tour.
Yeah, it took me years to figure out what that meant. And they're all over the place. Why have we got all these Welsh names everywhere in Wiltshire? But it's just an old metal box on stilts up there, I think, if I remember rightly. It's just a reservoir. So that takes you back into eventually into Tidcombe, but all the way you're just crossing. I mean, the views up there, once you get up to Picket Plantation, and you've got Hill Copse on your right, the views certainly over to your left, to the west, are just stunning. I think you're looking over towards perhaps Luggershall and the woods all around there, of the forests. I can remember, certainly from Wexcombe down, which is just a little bit further north, not on this walk, but again, you could do a diversion. We could see Wilton, not Wilton as in Salisbury, but the other Wilton, and the windmill that stands out. And you could see all the way up towards Hungerford. The views are immense.
Yeah. And I've noticed that from Scott's Paw, that byway that leads you down towards Collingbourne Wood.
Yeah.
Collingbourne
Wood, there.
I've put a walk on
that's right,
the blog through Collingbourne Wood that actually follows that byway further south.
Yeah.
So it all connects up. It's a lovely landscape.
Yeah, it's and it'd be fascinating to do that that Pusey Vale circular way, because it takes in all these byways. I mean, it's obviously a multi-day walk, but absolutely love it over there. One of my favourite parts of Wiltshire, I think. So actually, I should have said it's bloody awful, and you don't want to go there and just leave
it's terrible.
Leave it to me. Yeah, you really don't want to see it.
Yeah. So I guess that brings us to the end of this podcast. So should we?
Well, the end of the walk, certainly. Yeah.
The walk. This section of the podcast, I should say.
Just thanks to Steve again, Steve Dixon. So the music we used in the middle there was called Shadows Travel Past. Travel Fast. Shadows Travel Fast, which we've used once before. And I thought I picked that one out just because of the evening, late afternoon and evening, I stood on Fosbury Camp watching the shadows across Hipponscombe Bottom and thinking, shoot me now, I'll just die here, this is heaven, but all those shadows scudding across the bottom, absolutely stunning. That was that. Do you want to make the announcement then?
Yes, we have an announcement to make. So having done this for 34 occasions.
Yeah, this is number 34.
We thought it would be time to kind of do things a little bit differently going forward, but in a way that actually makes the podcast even better than it is. Is that even possible?
Well,
I don't know.
I struggle to see how we can make it even better.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is, after this one, we're going to be back, not in 2 weeks' time, but probably in three.
Yeah.
As the calendar moves us forward, because what we're going to do is move to doing a podcast on the first Sunday of every month. So instead of doing this every 2 weeks, we're now going to be doing it on the first Sunday of every month going forward. And the idea behind that is that it gives us a bit more time to plan this podcast going and get things in the calendar properly. Gives us a bit more time to do some prep and maybe some outside recording and stuff like that. And just makes the podcast better, really.
Yeah, it's all about improving the quality and the content. It is a struggle to get out and see new places, write it all up in a 2-week window. And it can get repetitive, I think, if we're not careful. So to go out and find new places, and as you say, maybe do a bit more outside recording, maybe a bit of filming with your 360-degree camera if you haven't sold it already.
No, it's still there. I've still been playing around with it.
Right.
I have actually done a walk on it. I did the Eddington walk and filmed it. I just need to find the time to edit that into a clip.
Mm.
It's a good setup. It's pretty good. So I think we'll do more of that video audio stuff and pulling it all together into podcast and YouTube clips, etc.
And as we've said before, if people have got ideas, suggestions for places, and it's great to see we've got one or two more people contributing to the Facebook group, which we can turn into a blog for the website, and we can put on the open Facebook page. If people have got ideas and say, I found this and I've strung a walk together, why don't you go and have a look at that? Or if people want to do one themselves and contribute, then that would be great too. Or if people just got questions about what we do and places, that's all really helpful to us and gives us material to use in the podcast. But the next one, just to be clear, is going to be Sunday the 1st of May, isn't it? That's when it's coming out.
It is, and we're going to talk about a long barrow. But not just any old long barrow. The one at Old Canning's, which is relatively new, because I think it's about 7 or 8 years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we went over there to speak to Tim Dorr, who owns the farm which the long barrow is on, and he built it. And it is a proper long barrow in the sense that it has human remains inside, and it has plenty of alcoves for people to leave their loved ones behind. It's a different way of handing over your loved one, really, back to nature.
Yeah, it was a fascinating chat. I mean, Tim's a really engaging guy, very, very knowledgeable. He farms up there, but he's also very keen, historian, archaeologist, whatever he wants to call himself, amateur, but...
He's a bit of an authority on Stonehenge, and the local area. Obviously, him and his family have farmed in the Pusey Vale for many years. He's Wiltshire. He's one of these people. If you cut him in half, he'd be like a stick of rock. Now Wiltshire carpet.
So it was a fascinating chat, and that'll take some editing down, I think, because we chatted for ages. So, that'll be good. Alrighty. So, as we've mentioned before, check out the website for the show notes and links and stuff. The books are sale on there. And, I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yep. And we will be back again on the 1st of May.
Yep.